Hi, and welcome to The Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Lynn Stokum. Today, I am joined by Misty Alarian, MD-MS, a micrographic surgery and dermatologic oncology fellow at the University of California, and Adam Friedman, MD, professor and chair of dermatology at GW School of Medicine and Health Sciences. We discuss the development of the full spectrum of dermatology, a diverse and inclusive atlas, which Dr. Friedman and Dr. Alarian co-edited. We cover the topics of how the idea was developed, the work that went into getting content for the book, and how this will influence educational materials for dermatology.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Adam Friedman, Chair of Dermatology at GW School of Medicine and Health Sciences.
I am Dr. Misty Alarian, a former graduate of GW Dermatology Residency. Currently, I am a fellowship-trained Mohs micrographic surgeon.
Today, we are going to be discussing the full spectrum of dermatology, a diverse and inclusive atlas. Both of you co-authored this, correct?
Correct. We co-edited. However, I'd say this was an incredible initiative taken on by a village of a broad array of incredible individuals, from medical students to fellows and residents and established faculty around the country. So I think this has been a project that Dr. Lair and I have wanted to work on for many years. And I can remember distinctly in a resident meeting, circa maybe even 2017, us talking about creating an atlas, which is an incredible undertaking. And, you know, I've always really loved images, clinical images, and I can thank Dr. Steve Cohen from Einstein, Chief Emeritus, and one of my longstanding mentors for really inspiring my love of clinical images. And, you know, I think one thing that I and Dr. Alarian have really discussed and commiserated over the years has been lack of access to an array of images that really capture the nuances and the beauty of even those common of skin diseases in all skin tones. And, you know, it's one thing, it's easy to talk like, oh, it would be great if we did this together. And honestly, I couldn't think of anyone else I'd rather work on such a behemoth of a project with than Dr. Alarian, because I know at least 35 to 40% of the time we'd be laughing ourselves to tears. But, you know, it does require more than just an idea. It requires an army. It requires support. And the hammer fell, the pandemic hit us all, and multiple pandemics really emerged from that, including healthcare disparities, and dermatology definitely was no stranger to that. And I think longstanding issues in our field really surfaced, even though they've always been there, but surfaced to the point where we all recognize them. This was the time to strike, and this was the time to really take this by the reins and drive this. And there already was momentum to identify gaps in education and education resources. And so we came together. I remember sitting in my office, and we're just like, we're going to do this. We're going to make this happen. And that was, I don't know, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. And we're finally there. The atlas is shipping as we speak around the country to residents and program directors.
So I think that was beautifully said. And, you know, it has been a labor of love. Definitely, I think with what has occurred in our country in 2020 and also this year with the racial reckoning, you know, a lot of people are starting to notice the disparities, the lack of access, the lack of resources that really highlight the racial diverse makeup of our country, which I think is great, but I just don't want people to think that this is just a book that we are just like, okay, now's the time to strike. This is something, as Dr. Friedman said, that we have been talking about and working on since I began residency. As a resident, especially a resident of color, it was very clear to me from day one that I was not fully represented in a lot of the educational resources that I was using. I will often hear more senior residents saying, oh, I have to study for my board exams and I need to make sure that I know all about quote unquote skin of color. So we have to get this other book. And in my mind, I was thinking, that just does not sound right. Why should I have to get an extra book when we have this huge, gigantic book full of pictures already that a lot of people use? I won't name it. So why am I having to go get other resources? And I just remember complaining about that during clinic with Dr. Friedman and during our resident meetings. And one of the things that kind of bonds myself and Dr. Friedman is just that we are the type of people where we just say, okay, we can just complain about something or we can find a solution. Yes, the solution may seem like it's never going to happen, but are we just going to complain or are we really going to do this? And like he said, this is something that we kind of thought through and we said, okay, we're going to need an army of people to help us with this. And let's get our heavy hitters. Let's do what we need to do and let's get it done. And let's be those people who make a change. That's how it came about.
I just want to echo something that Dr. Larian said so perfectly in terms of this kind of distinction between the established textbooks or atlases, and then, oh, you might need to get another resource to kind of complete the story. And that's why it's so important to highlight, this is not a skin of color atlas. You know, there are atlases out there that, you know, are great. They offer those types of images, but we need it all under one roof. You know, dermatology needs to be complete. And that was really our goal here, was to have an atlas that showcased the spectrum, as the name infers, of all skin tones as best as we can, and show this diversity, even for common diseases like acne, psoriasis, where something so common and maybe, you know, inherently so simple is not so simple to identify on different skin types, especially if you've never seen them. You know, training at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx, you know, the majority of my patients were of darker skin tones. And so I just got used to it. I thought, oh, that's normal. Everyone has exposure. And that's not the case. And so if you don't see, if you don't have access, whether it be in the clinic or by images, whether it be digital or in a physical book, you're not going to get comfortable with appreciating nuances between different skin tones. And then you're going to make the wrong diagnosis. You're going to create the wrong treatment plan, but you're also going to perpetuate those mistakes to the future generations if you yourself don't know how to recognize those conditions.
Very, very true. And I'm really glad that you brought up the other resources that we have. I do want to say that we are immensely grateful for all of those who took the time to address the gap in knowledge about darker skin years past. And we're so eternally grateful because they really opened up the door for us to even do this. There are some really great atlases out there, and I believe that they really paved the way for us. But as Dr. Friedman said, we wanted to do something that was inclusive of all skin tones to where you didn't have to go and buy another book. Because let's be honest, even as a resident, you're not making that much money and these books are very expensive. So let's just have everything all in one place. So, you know, we wanted to be really all inclusive because we shouldn't have to tell a patient, I don't know what this is. And it's something so common. Now, we have to be clear that this book isn't inclusive of all conditions that you could possibly see, but we did our best with the most commonly seen diagnoses. And, you know, our hope is that this is just the beginning. And we really hope that this is a message to others that are working on similar atlases or other educational resources. We want this to be a message that says, be more inclusive because the world looks very diverse. Have your resources mirror that. So the more resources, the better.
Amazing. I can't even imagine the mountain you two had to climb, gathering all those people, gathering all those resources. How difficult was it to actually create the atlas?
I got to say, some of the most incredible photos we have in our atlas are of these nightmare-inducing non-melanoma and melanoma skin cancers provided by one Dr. Larian. So yeah, this was not something you just wake up in the morning and, you know, put your pants on and say, oh, we just made an atlas and throw the pandemic into the mix. That, I think, was one of those challenging parts because the atlas was so dependent on having patients walk through the door. So most of these images came prospectively. These were not us going to our, you know, our own personal image libraries and saying, all right, I need X, Y, and Z. Let me go find it. You know, we had a very structured way that we were going to approach this atlas where we identified four fellows. These were atlas fellows who were trained in medical photography by Dr. Justin Finch, who is a dermatologist in Connecticut, who before becoming a dermatologist was a professional photographer. So we prepare these fellows, we got cameras and had a whole setup. But then the pandemic was happening and there was a lot of variability in terms of whose clinics were open, how they can access patients. So there were a lot of challenges, and I definitely want to give a shout out to our publisher, Sonova Works, and especially Jill Dawson, who worked with us, where we did everything in our power to inspire these fellows and their mentors at each institution to really hunt these photos down, hunt these patients down. You know, we kept getting updates on a weekly basis of what did we have, what didn't we have, prizes, games. You know, everyone loves a good competition, but it was a challenge. I don't think it was a challenge to recruit people to work on it. You know, I can't think of anyone who said, I don't think it's a good idea. I was like, yes, let me get involved. And how can I get involved? And that was really inspiring. And the times we'd get together by Zoom or whatever platform to have a meeting about the Atlas, it was so much fun. But really executing was hard because we could only do as much as we could do if patients were coming in, but we made it work. You know, you got to be able to pivot in the time of crisis. I think given what was going on in the world around us, to be able to complete this in roughly a year, I think says a lot about everyone's drive and passion for this project. So it took a village plus, and because of that and that level of excitement, we were able to get it done.
I agree. It was so beautiful just to see the fellows who took the photos and recruited the patients, and also our amazing council. There were so many people who reached out that wanted to be a part of it, but you know, we couldn't include everyone. We had some great people, but the great thing about this and the beauty in all of this is that we were all learning at the same time. The people that were involved in this, no one was an expert. There are so many times that I received text messages or emails saying, I just saw this in this skin hue or this skin tone, and I would have never thought that, you know, it would look this way. And thank you so much for including me. I'm learning so much. And that is what we wanted. We didn't want to get together a group of people who are just like, oh, I know it all, but we wanted to learn from this. And I really think that everyone truly learned from this, and it opened their eyes up to the reason why we were doing this. And that's the most important thing.
How will this change the dermatology world?
Well, I think it's going to change well beyond the dermatology world, because I think something Dr. Lair and I commiserate over beyond just internally in dermatology, but we would constantly hear from medical students at GW specifically, but I imagine this happens all across not just the country, but the world, in that during the pre-clerkship years, you know, your didactic years where they're sitting in the auditorium for hours on end, and you know, maybe they'll get dermatology lectures from dermatology faculty, or very often derm subjects are covered under different umbrellas, and it's not even dermatologists giving them. And what happens is they're using, once again, the easily accessible resources out there, and these could be images, and the spectrum of skin tones are not reflected in these lectures. And so we've heard constantly, you know, why are we only seeing this in lighter skin? Does it only happen in lighter skin? And that's the worst thing you can hear, because if that misperception disseminates and really evolves into a solid idea and dogma, then of course misdiagnoses and mistreatment occur. So I think having an atlas like this provides the opportunity to educate all medical professionals, but also it's I hope a resource that people can pull from. So when they're giving a talk about acne, or they're giving a talk about urticaria to first year medical students, they will be able on one slide to show what urticaria looks like in multiple skin tones, because you can't hide from dermatologists. One thing that I love about it, it covers the gamut of medicine and surgery. You know, when I was a third year med student, one of the reasons I loved dermatology, went into it, was I could be on internal medicine, OBGYN, surgery. Derm was always there. It stalked you. You couldn't even get a restraining order against it. And so whether you're a dermatologist or not, you need to be able to recognize things on the skin, and you need to be able to recognize it in all skin tones.
Yeah, very true. And we wanted to make it clear that this book is not just for, you know, just for dermatologists. So dermatology includes skin, hair, and nails. You have conditions that manifest themselves on the skin before they even manifest in another organ system. So dermatology is really important. you'll have a lot of patients that will present to the emergency department. That's where they get their treatment because maybe that is their access to healthcare. So we also want to get this book in their hands so they can see like, hey, this is just maybe just an eczema flare on darker skin or a different form of rosacea. So we want this to really just affect change in all aspects of medicine, all of the specialties. And another thing that is really important, and it's very important to me, especially because I am a patient of color, I think it's important that working in the field of dermatology, so that means a dermatologist, means either a PA, MP, MA, anyone, you know, if you are trained in dermatology, and especially speaking towards my board certified dermatologist, dermatology is dermatology. We are board certified and we are educated in all skin, hair, and nails. So this book should help to educate them even further. There should be no reason why we send any patients away because we're just not sure of what the condition is because of their skin color. We need to educate ourselves more, and we're hoping that this is a resource that will help to educate them better and also educate their staff, and to where we help to lessen that disparity that patients of color often are met with. And I think that's important. Another way of looking at this, and I explained this to a friend who is not of color, I just said, okay, just picture yourself maybe like to a hairstylist or something. And then that hairstylist saying, you know what? I wasn't trained on blonde hair, so I need to send you to this person. Or, oh, you're a brunette, I need to send you here. Or going to the grocery store and asking a question and someone saying, so, I mean, just we have to put ourselves in the shoes of our patients and educate ourselves fully and just do our best. And we're hoping that this resource really helps people to just bring it up a notch and do their best.
What's something you have to add about this whole process? Is there something that I didn't ask that you really want to get off your chest about this?
I have one thing that really inspired me. Beyond me, listen, there were so many elements of this that were so rewarding and so uplifting, but what really hit me was the willingness of patients to participate. I starting off, I was nervous asking patients and I was trying to come up with a script of how do I ask someone to have photos taken of them for resources hopefully can be viewed by countless individuals. You know, that's daunting, right? I mean, we like our privacy. And, you know, even from day one, and I probably stumbled over some of my words and how I wanted to present it, it was predominantly unanimous. I mean, patients were so excited to play a part in this. And some patients, you know, even got tearful that this even resource was being created. I think literally there was one patient who said no. And it was such an awkward conversation. It was just like straight up, nope, no chance, not interested. But we're talking about one of, I don't even know how many, but the excitement and the willingness to sign away their privacy and realize, you know, as Dr. Lehrer mentioned, hair, skin, and nails, but hair and skin involve many different locations, some very sensitive. And we have patients who were more than willing to have photos of sensitive locations taken for the greater good. And to me, that sacrifice and that investment, every time, you know, someone smiled and said, absolutely, how can I help? It really pushed me further to work hard on this to make sure it got out there.
I will agree, you know, the patients were amazing, especially my skin cancer patients. It was just great because I think that these patients with darker skin tones and in particularly with skin cancer would have benefited a lot from diagnosing this earlier and having recognized it a little bit earlier. But I will say that during this process, it made me really reflect and look for organizations or people who maybe were on social media and they were talking about this subject about, and this is not, you know, someone in the medical field. These are people that are outside of healthcare or maybe they're consultants or parents. It just made me look for people who were discussing this and saying, hey, why doesn't my doctor know this? Why is my doctor saying that maybe the skin color is not making the condition known? It's not showing itself correctly. And it's funny because I really reached out to a couple of people, and one is a mother, and she happens to be a white female who has biracial children and has had to walk that road of looking online to see what skin conditions her kids have because her doctors didn't know. Either it's because they're in a smaller town or whatnot. And it was very frustrating to her. And she started a handle on Instagram, Brown Skin Matters. And it's phenomenal where she looked to friends and anyone to kind of send photos of people with different skin tones with certain conditions. And, you know, I reached out to her and said, hey, we hear you, we see you, we know it's frustrating. And I promise you that we are going to make this resource available to as many physicians as possible, as many nurse practitioners, anyone that is practicing in the field of medicine. And also we'll send it to you, and this will be helpful for you. Also reaching out to organizations where their whole goal is to have more representation and to help patients, especially patients of color who feel like they are misdiagnosed, underdiagnosed, or the length of time from diagnosis is so increased and, you know, they have poor outcomes because of that. I wanted to highlight another company. It's called HUED, H-U-E-D, and the founder is Kimberly Wilson. And one of her platforms she even joined with Vaseline is to make sure that we are educated on the way that different skin conditions present on different skin colors. And she talks about her story. So that really touched me. And it was just important for us to do this, not just to help residents and dermatologists, but also to help patients. Another thing that I wanted to address, and we addressed it a little bit in the letter from the editors, was the incorrect nomenclature that has been used. And we were hoping that this atlas, that we deter people from that and show that there's so many variations. But the incorrect nomenclature of saying white skin or black skin, because there's just really no such thing. Skin has no race. There's so much racial diversity, and to place people in these antiquated boxes just does a disservice to everyone, because we come in all different skin tones, all different beautiful hues. It was really hard for us to kind of just pinpoint six, you know, because there's so many different hues of people. With the increase in interracial relationships, our world is just so much more diverse when it comes to skin color. And believing that we can assign a race or ethnicity to someone based on just a swatch or a little snippet of their skin on a photo, it really just doesn't make much sense to me. You could think about it in terms of this: Meghan Markle, think about her skin color; Halle Berry, Beyonce, Janet Jackson, Tika Sumpter, Lupita Nyong'o. These are all Black women, but they all have variations in their skin tone. So I just think it does such a huge disservice for us to label skin. Skin is skin. It's not white. It's not black. It's just a skin color.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.